The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
Isaiah 59, starting with the 14th verse. On today, I'll be reading from a translation called the Living Bible. I'll be reading from a translation called the Living Bible. As you can see, I like to choose and read different translations, but I do declare, my brothers and my sisters, I am reading from and will be preaching from and will be teaching from the Word of God. Just might read a little differently, but it does not mean that the message is not the same. Isaiah 59, starting with the 14th verse, I'll be reading from the Living Bible translation. Hear me when I say this. Starting at verse 14, it says, "Our courts oppose the righteous man. Fairness is unknown. Truth falls dead in the streets, and justice is outlawed. Yes, truth is gone. And anyone who tries a better life is soon attacked. The Lord saw all the evil and was displeased to find no steps taken against sin. He saw no one was helping you and wondered that no one intervened. Therefore, he himself stepped in to save you through his mighty power and justice." Verse 17 says, "He put on righteousness as armor and the helmet of salvation on his head, clothed himself with robes of vengeance and of godly fury. He will repay his enemies for their evil deeds, fury for his foes in distant lands. Then at last, they will reverence and glorify the name of God from west to east. For he will come like a flood tide driven by Jehovah's breath. He will come as a redeemer to those in Zion who have turned away from sin. As for me, this is my promise to them, says the Lord. My Holy Spirit shall not leave them, and they shall not want the good and hate the wrong. They and their children and their children's children forever." Says they'll want the good and hate the wrong. They and their children and their children's children forever. But I want to read verse 14 again. It says, "Our courts oppose the righteous man. Fairness is unknown." Watch this. "Truth falls dead in the streets, and justice is outlawed." So on this first Sunday of June 7th, 2020, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to consider the subject, truth fallen in the streets. Truth fallen in the streets. Now, let's make sure that we get together on one accord. The beautiful thing about these services that we're having now is that it doesn't matter how we're dressed. Folk aren't looking at how you're dressed. Folk are concerned where you're seated. Folk aren't even concerned what you're doing. But we have to make sure that regardless of where you are and what you're doing, we must be on one accord, because we want the Spirit of the Lord to blow through our lives, through our homes, through our communities, through our nation. So let's pray that prayer that we pray together every Sunday. Father, open my eyes so I can see your truth. Open my ears so I can hear your voice. Open my mind so I can understand your word, and open my heart so that I may receive all that you have for me, that is for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Truth fallen in the streets. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. There is so much, even now, that's swirling around in my mind, in my heart, and in my spirit regarding everything and regarding all that is happening right now in and around our world. Yet, my brothers and my sisters and my friends, without getting bogged down in any politics, without getting bogged down in any ideologies, I'm going to do the best that I can to try and give all that God has laid on my heart and share it with you in today's message. It's a message depicting what truth really is. Come on, somebody. Why it's fallen, the result of the fall, and a call back to the truth of God. In verse 14, again, the Living Bible translation are the words, our courts oppose the righteous man. Fairness is unknown. Truth falls dead in the streets, and justice is outlawed. Listen, do you remember over in the New Testament in John chapter 18, verse 38, where Pilate, before handing Jesus over to be crucified, made the statement, he said, what is truth? Well, that's a good question. And it's an important question that we need to answer. What is truth? Let me ask you, what is truth to you? Because I've declared that if you ask anybody in your home or where you are, even online, what is truth to you, you might get a multitude of answers. But let me tell you what Jesus said. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Which then begs another question today. It begs the question, watch this, hear me when I say this, Lord, help me to stand tall today. If Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, then how then can we be made free if we don't know what truth is? Because the simple answer to that question is we really can't. We can't be free until we know what the truth is. Jesus then went a step further when he told us exactly what truth is. He said, I am the truth. He said, I'm the truth, the way, and the life. So then, what does truth mean? Well, the word truth is defined as being absolute. It means being right. So when Jesus says, I am the truth, in other words, Jesus is saying, I am absolute, teach Holy Ghost. He's saying, I am right. Psalm 112, verse 1 says, blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. In other words, blessed are those who delight in the word of God. They will have truth hidden in their hearts and will live the truth of God. That means they cannot be bound by the lies of the devil, because you need to know that the devil has his own standard of truth to live by. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. But the truth, the Bible says that truth is falling dead in the street. So you gotta ask yourself, what happened? What happened to the word of God? What happened to truth? The text says we let it fall dead to the ground. And the conviction for you and for me is that everyone has heard the truth. Everyone has held the truth, but not everybody has obeyed the word of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Listen, we as a race, we as a nation, we know the truth, but we let it go because we refused to keep it. Instead of glorifying God and seeking him and his righteousness and his kingdom and following him in our lives, we have gone the way of secularism and the things of this world. My brothers and my sisters, the truth hurts, but I need to let us know that we live for what we can get in this temporal life rather than what we can know of God and how close we can get to him. We unfortunately have traded the truth in God's word for the things we want here and now on this earth. Whatever it might be, I was going to start to make a list, but I was afraid that if I started one, I might miss the one you're seeking. Point is this. Too much of what we are seeking after is any and everything other than the knowledge of God. Why? Because we have sought after our pleasure rather than dying to ourselves in truth. We have known the truth, but because we don't act like it, we can't say that the truth is in us. Teach, Holy Ghost. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through 8. 1 John 1, 6 through 8 says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. 1 John chapter 2 verse 4 says, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. Thus, what are the results of living, of knowing him and not keeping his commandments? The text calls us a liar. But what does a life look like that lives out that's not living the truth of God? The results of that life lived apart from the truth is this. Hope you didn't close your Bibles. Look here in chapter 59, but this time go up to verse 9. Go up to verse 9. The Living Bible translation says this. It is because of all this evil that you aren't finding God's blessings. That's why he doesn't punish those who injure you. No wonder you are in darkness when you expected light. No wonder you are walking in the gloom. Listen, when we no longer do what is good, when we no longer do what is right, we are in darkness. We become people with no peace. I don't care how loud we shout, if we are no longer doing what is good, if we are no longer doing what is right, as a person, as a group, as a nation, then we are in darkness. And we become people with no peace. Why? Because we have not let the truth have dominion in our lives. Listen, we can say, I believe, but then when we go about trying to live our lives as though we have not found anything in God worthy enough to take him with us, to learn more of him, and to actually control how we conduct ourselves, listen, we can expect salvation because we said it, because we said we believe, but we don't find it because we do not obey. So rather, we've left the truth behind so that we could look for our joy in the world. Our judgment then becomes backwards because we no longer seek God for what is true. Everyone does what is right in their own sight. Listen, sin is no longer these days a big deal. It's not as big of a deal as it was yesterday, the day before, and the day before that. Sin no longer is a big deal. Some people don't even want to use the word sin. Somebody might even be saying, King, what is sin? Come on, somebody. The problem is too many of us are getting our information and our truths, little t, from news outlets, from social media, from the internet, etc. But if we don't get the truth from God's word, look at what verse 8 says again in the Living Bible translation. It says, you don't know what true peace is, nor what it means to be just and good. You continually do wrong, and those who follow you won't experience any peace either. Listen, without the truth of God's word, not just in the Bible, but without the truth of God's word in you, there is no way to know good or right. Because what happens is right becomes wrong and wrong becomes right. Romans 1:25 says it like this. Instead of believing what they knew was the truth about God, they deliberately chose to believe lies. So they prayed to the things God made, but wouldn't obey the blessed God who made these things. That's where we become as a people and as a society. So listen, as we've been crying out all week long, as we cry in our sleep, as we cry when we're awake, we've been crying out in our spirits, Lord, how long, how long, how long? Lord, when are you going to heal? When are you going to set free? When are you going to deliver? And God has said, you have not been in my word. As a matter of fact, you have not spent any time with me. You've spent more time on social media than you've spent time in meditation and prayer. So God is asking, you're asking me, how long? And he's saying to us, how long are you going to wait until you turn it over to me? As I get ready to close, the paradox of our time in history is this. We have taller buildings, but shorter tempers. We have bigger houses, but smaller families. We have more conveniences, but less time. We have more degrees, but less common sense. We have more knowledge, but less judgment. We have more experts, yet we have more problems. We've learned how to make a living, but not how to make a life. We spend too recklessly, drive too fast, get too angry, read too little, watch too much TV, and pray too seldom. We've multiplied our possessions, but not our precious. We multiplied our possessions, but reduced our values. We've conquered the atom, but we haven't conquered our prejudice and discrimination. We talk too much, love too seldom, and hate too often. We've cleaned up the air, but we polluted our souls. Listen, my brothers, my sisters, my friends, it's time. But it's time for us individually, it's time for us collectively, and it's time for us as a nation to check our moral compass. Listen, we have to understand that only God is the source of absolute moral values and absolute truth. Mankind is given the right to choose, but mankind does not have the authority to define right and wrong. I say it again. We have been given free will. So yes, mankind is given the right to choose, but mankind does not have the right nor the authority to define right and wrong. The only absolute source of absolute truth and morality is God's word. You must know, I must know, we must know God's word. It must be written in our heart. We must be living it so that we can teach it to our children. Because if we don't teach it to our children, guess what? Our children will only learn the ways of this world. And all of it is confusing lies and theories. Romans 12 and 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, my brothers and my sisters, God wants a life devoted to justice and breaking loose the bonds of injustice and oppression everywhere. He's talking about feeding the hungry, clothing the naked, housing the homeless, sharing all that we have with our neighbors. Proverbs 23 and 23 said it like this. Get the truth and don't ever sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The truth is, the person of Jesus Christ who died to redeem us, it is every word God spoken. Listen, you and I have to come to Jesus and admit that we need him in our lives, that we need a savior. No one is good in and of themselves. Let the truth of God live in your heart. It is important that we make God Lord of our lives. Some call him savior, but is he Lord? Make his truth the standard that you follow. All of us must make the truth our standard to follow. And for somebody, I'm talking to you too. Because you said, I've already given my life to Christ. And maybe you have committed your life to Christ. But maybe you sought the things of the world more than you have God's word. All of us have something we need to repent for. It really is not a bad thing, guess what, to check yourself. If everything is good, and if you're following God's word, then I say thank God and God bless you. But if not, then it's incumbent upon all of us to make it right. God will put his spirit of truth in you. He will show you right from wrong. It is important for us, regardless of what's happening in and around the world, you and I must live in the truth. That means we must live in Jesus, which means we must live in the word of God. Listen, it is up to every believer to hold up the bloodstained banner of Jesus. I know we're holding up other signs, and I'm not saying not to hold up those signs, but make sure you don't hold those signs up any higher than you hold up the bloodstained banner of Jesus. Our moral compass must point towards Jesus. Our moral compass must point towards the blood of the Lamb. Our moral compass must be found in the Word of God. Otherwise, truth falls dead in the streets. To God be the glory. To God be the praise. Now at this time, as we get ready to hear a song of praise, I ask that you allow that word to sink into your heart, allow it to sink into your spirit. Because we're all fighting mad. But our fight for righteousness and our fight for justice has to be a fight for the truth that is in the Word of God. So while we get mad and we get angry, don't let the sun go down on your wrath. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, be angry, but sin not. And if we are allowing the things of this world to control our spirits, to control our demeanor, to control our attitudes, to control our behavior, then guess what? That's too much control. We have to be operating and be controlled by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.